You're listening to the Whole Church Podcast. Our efforts to educate and unite the church are made possible thanks to our sponsors on Captivate and on Patreon. You can get bonus content of our show on either of those platforms or on Apple Podcasts with a private subscription to the Anazal Ministries Podcast Network.
2 Timothy 2:22 through 26 in the Christian Standard Bible say, "Flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But reject foolish and ignorant disputes, because you know that they breed quarrels. The Lord's servants must not quarrel, but must be gentle to everyone, able to teach, and patient, instructing his opponents with gentleness. Perhaps God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. Then they may come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will." In this pericope, the writer just finished explaining the importance of avoiding fights about words and to prioritize instead the message that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. After condemning a group of people for preaching a false message about resurrection, the author writes the above scripture. In this context, how does this teach us to disagree better?
For me, the thing that really stands out most in this section of scripture, and I feel like I'm just not focusing on the positive parts. We have a lot of guests on this series so far that's like, you know, it's focused on gentleness or different words. Really stood out how before the scripture, they use the term empty words and arguing about empty words. And I just go through what I know about church history, and I'm not just trying to like slam on the church or, you know, any of that. And I'm not trying to be negative, but how many church arguments do we have that are, well, you say we're saved by faith, you know, by faith, and I think we're saved while doing works through faith at the same time. Like we have all these like etymological arguments in the church where we're really splitting hairs when we're upset. Well, you say that I'm saved at the moment of the cross, and I say that I'm saved the moment that God entered humankind at all. And I'm like, what? Wait, okay. It's not that these arguments aren't important. I think what's concerning is we're having these etymological arguments on what the words really mean, or how we should use our words, or if we're saying the same thing, what version of the word should we say? You know, should it be Holy Ghost or should it be Holy Spirit? That was a big argument, right? And all the while we're having these silly arguments, people are out there starving that we could be feeding, the homeless that we could be housing. You know, there's people who have never heard the gospel, and we're simply too busy saying, well, you can't say Holy Ghost. That might make people think of something scary. Say Holy Spirit. Guys, come on. Like, it's not that these things aren't important, but what are we really putting our attention into? Is it these arguments about empty words, or is it loving each other so that we can go out and do greater goods? And I think the thing about quarreling and treating each other with gentleness is, let's still have these debates. Let's have them, but let's not make them the main thing. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the end of our controversial Unity series. This is the Whole Church Podcast. We've spent the last 8, maybe 9 weeks, you know, technically this will be our 10th episode because we have an intro and an outro, but the 8 real weeks talking about some controversial topics in the church and how we can disagree well about these things. What does it mean to have unity while we're disagreeing about stuff like how to read the Bible or atonement or fruits of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit? Well, you know, all this kind of stuff. And now we're just going to reflect on what we've learned the last semester of episodes. Of course, we're here with the greatest educator of all time. You know, people say experience is the greatest educator, but that's because they haven't met the one who meeting him is a greater experience than anything else you could possibly have. The one and only TJ Tiberius Juan Blackwell. Welcome to your show.
Thank you.
I also listening to a podcast experience. Count as experience?
Yeah. Duck. Yeah.
You also think what?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think experience is the greatest educator.
Greater than TJ Tiberius Juan Blackwell?
Usually, yeah.
What if their experience of meeting you is their greatest moment of learning? Does that count?
Yeah.
Okay. Good educational moment. Go to Disney, ride the Carousel of Progress, then meet TJ Blackwell.
Yeah. Yeah. But you should, if you're listening... well, you're halfway there. Now we just have to ride the Carousel of Progress. On our way there, you should check out the Anazal Ministries Podcast Network website. The link is below for shows like ours that we get along with and we like to be partnered with. And if you are listening on the AMP Network YouTube channel, hit like, hit subscribe, or I'll hit you. I don't mean that. But it'd be really cool.
I don't mean that. Oh, man. Sorry, that's funny. Oh, man. Our systematic ecology, we do that. Smash the like and subscribe button or else you're smashing Will's heart. You know, we go for that empathy. Here, we go for violence on your favorite Unity podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Checks out. Oh, man. Well, guys, with that, you know, we always like to start with a silly question. Just some spiritual practice we like to do in this whole series. You know, we started off answering the question. We asked everybody else, what's the silliest argument they ever remember having? So for our silly question this episode, we're just reflecting. TJ, of all of the arguments we've heard that people brought up, what do you think was maybe not the silliest? What do you think was the funniest answer we got to the silly argument question?
I might be biased, but I still, it's mine.
I hate to pick the first, like, from early on, because it's always like, for me, if you do, like, there's recency bias if you do, like, the last one given, and if you do the earliest one, it's like, man, it's like the people who are like, oh, the early years were always the best years of that show, and it's like, maybe you just only, but still, Pete Enns, he got on here, and he told us about biblical arguments for the circus, and I still can't get over that. That's
pretty good.
Comedy gold. Yeah.
That's a pretty good one.
I'm gonna go with that. Yeah, it's funny stuff. All right. So with that, we're going to go ahead and transition out. I know that was a quick little silly segment. Very quick for us. We tend to be sillier than that. But before we get into other stuff, I just kind of want to get, like, basic overall reflection thoughts. What do you think we gained or learned during the series or through the series, TJ?
I think there is a lot to be gained. There are so many different perspectives offered over the past 8 episodes that you really just kind of have to go through and take what you can from each one. A lot of them are more beneficial to some people than others. And episodes that you disagree with us on are probably more helpful than anything else. I learned probably everything. I know everything now.
I was like everything. Everything.
Yeah.
Trip Fuller, Tom Ward on the same series, and TJ just absorbed all knowledge.
Yep.
In those moments, yeah. One thing I learned is that if your guest mentions anyone's audio being off, you should check everyone's settings.
Yeah.
Because Tom Moore did mention last episode that your audio seemed off. Turns out it was mine, so we just checked yours and moved on. Should have checked mine, too. That was an issue.
That was foolish on our part.
Yeah. Yeah. On a more serious note, yeah, I think I agree with you. I think one of the things that was really fascinating is we had people who maybe aren't on the far right or far left, but who were more theologically conservative and more theologically liberal on different episodes. And it was so interesting how each person on, to me, this could just be my own perspective, it felt like they were speaking more to their own group about how to disagree well with the other group. So whenever we had people who were more conservative theologically on, you know, thinking like Trimper Longman, it felt more like he was talking to other people who were in his camp about how to disagree well with the other camp, if that makes sense. And, you know, Trip Fuller, I guess he's more on the progressive side. And I think he was very generous and, hey, he's talking to the other side and he's trying not to attack them. But he felt like he was more talking to his own camp on how do we think about the other side. So I thought that was one thing that was just a really interesting observation of who do we even assume our listeners are. I occasionally look. But we have such a mixed bag. It's not like we can go into every episode going, all right, so it's mostly progressive listeners or mostly conservative. I mean, that's not a thing with this show. So we just kind of have to make it work. And I think, to me, the most interesting parts was just seeing how everybody interacted with that question of how do you present the argument from the other side?
Yeah, I think
Go ahead.
It's a really good thing because what you really, the overarching theme you get from this series, you know, I don't think it's ever said outright, but pride really is what gets in the way. And no one was really excessively prideful.
Yeah, I think what I really loved, especially about that particular question, reflecting on how people answered that, even the people who didn't know how to make the other side's argument well, they just said, I don't know how to do it well. Like Pete Enns even, and he said, like, but that's a great question. I need to work on that. And I love the honesty that all of the people on had about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very nice.
Yeah. It was good. It was a good series. I approve. This is just us patting ourselves on the back. That's all this episode is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job, TJ.
I'm giving us an award.
the whole church award goes to the whole church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect.
Duh. So we have to reflect on everyone's answers to the hot seat questions and answer one for ourselves that we didn't do. I didn't keep track. I hope you did. So,
all right, here we go. I know which one we didn't do because we added it after we recorded the first episode.
Sweet. Perfect. So are we doing like favorite answers for these?
Let's just figure it out.
Yeah. So a movie, book, or song that you love that no one else does.
I think the most interesting of that still was for me, and this could be recency bias, what's that movie I started watching that Trimper Longman, not Trimper Longman, Dr. Ord recommended.
Yeah.
It's like Breaking Waves, I think of what it was.
Yeah. Something like that. I haven't watched it yet.
It's fascinating. I haven't decided if I liked it yet or not, but it is fascinating.
Yeah. And then
first 30 minutes.
Follow up.
Yeah.
What's one
yeah.
that everyone loves that you don't?
What was also Dr. Ord. I thought it was crazy. He just all Marvel, just does not care at all.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's pretty. That's whatever. Did anyone say that Jesus was not more important than the Bible?
No. The one that I thought was like the was it Andrew? One of them said that this shouldn't even be controversial.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be controversial and make an argument for the other side. I agree that Jesus is more important than the Bible. But there is an argument to be made that without the Bible, what Jesus are you talking about? You know, like there's an argument that if you don't have the Bible, you don't have Jesus. So Bible's a necessary part to get to Jesus. So he can't be more important than the Bible. He just is what that character in the Bible says he is.
No, I think he can be more important.
I agree. But, you know, I think there's an argument to be made on that side.
As your you soul can more make important than your heart?
Nope. Anyway. I'm just saying. I think it's possible to make that argument. I don't think it's terrible if you agree that the Bible's more important than Jesus. I think you're wrong, but I can see where you're coming from.
So, we're just going to go in order because we never did that.
Yeah.
What is one thing you thought you'd never like that you later have come to enjoy?
What was your favorite answer for this one? Because I can't think of one that really stood out.
I can't remember.
A lot of people said vegetables.
Yeah, vegetables is the one I remember the most, probably, which is also Dr. Ward.
I don't even remember what we said about that.
Meaning,
do you remember what our answer was? You know what? I'm gonna give a hard one right here. It's still my second least favorite, but Star Wars Episode 3. I thought that I would never find anything of value in it at all. And then TJ forced me to watch Clone Wars, and now I realize it's not terrible. Like, I actually do like it. In fact, I think there is only one Star Wars movie that I'll say I just don't like. It's Episode 9. I don't like that one. The rest, yeah. I have different varying levels of appreciation, but I just don't like Episode 9. Until Dave Filoni saves it. And Filoni we trust.
Of course. So, who's your least favorite church father or theologian?
That's the one we never answered.
Yeah.
What's your answer, TJ? I have no idea.
Probably Augustine.
What?
Thomas Aquinas.
You want to tell everybody why you don't like Thomas Aquinas? Or are we just going to keep referencing that you just hate him?
I think it's fine to leave it that I hate him.
I think it's because his name's Thomas. I think you're just jealous. He was Thomas before you.
No, so were most Thomases.
If I had to pick a least favorite, man, I feel like I might get some hate on this. And actually, one of our guests said this too, but he's more progressive, so he gets away with saying it. I'm centrist enough that people are going to be upset when I say John Calvin. But it's not necessarily because I thought his theology was bad. There's a lot of stuff that I think is just bad theology that comes from him, but I think you can argue one way or the other. But specifically, there was the city that he kind of basically governed and how he treated people, like how he treated people, I think just makes him a bad person. So you didn't ask me what theology I like the least. You said what's theologian.
That's true.
I think the things he did makes him my least favorite theologian.
Fair.
But Martin Luther is up there too with some of his Jewish stuff, and I'm Lutheran now, so that's kind of weird for me.
No, that's fine. It's like appreciating the artist, but or the art, but not the artist.
Yeah, yeah,
same thing.
All right.
Yeah. So, I thought ranked the Spider-Man, Toby, Andrew, Tom. Really funny that almost everyone was like, "Yeah, Toby's the greatest."
Yeah, I mean, they're wrong, but yeah. I think I love that the one that agreed with me the closest to my opinion is Father Jonathan, who It was like, yeah, he likes Toby the most. I disagree with that. But that's because I went in with a preconceived notion of what Spider-Man should be, and he was not that preconceived notion. Not really his fault. My own fault. Still don't like him. But he did agree that Tom Holland's the best overall. Tobey Maguire was the best Peter Parker, and Andrew was the best Spider-Man. And if you know the character well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And the reason I think it's important to pick Tom Holland over the other two, personally, big part of Spider-Man's story is how his alter ego that he gets with the Spider-Man suit helps him transform his own personal character as Peter Parker. So if you don't have both well, you're not really showing the story well, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That's why I like Tom Holland.
So, theological doctrine that you changed your mind about, easily my favorite answer was Dr. Ord's. All of them. Constantly and continuously.
I think it's a good mindset. You just always question yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of anyone that I like this one. I like Trimper Longman's answer concerning like women in ministry. I thought that was a good one. But
yeah, that was a good one. That was a really good one.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Titanic. We had two Titanic haters.
We had more than two.
Three Titanic haters.
We had three, maybe three and a half. Because Christian also said he wouldn't watch it again. I feel like that doesn't count as really liking it.
Yeah, but... You didn't say
regret it. I feel like we got a really big mixed bag on Titanic. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, it's great. And a lot of people are like, absolutely not. And a lot of people were in the middle either as, it was okay, or I wouldn't watch it again.
Well, it is also really long.
Yeah, longer than it should be. Should have been 30 seconds. Just someone apologizing that they thought this was a good idea.
No, it's a pretty good movie.
I can't stand it.
So, hear me out. Boring. If they don't make Titanic, they also never get to make Avatar.
You know, I didn't really like Avatar that much.
I think it says more about you then.
Probably.
You know how much...
Least favorite Bible verse answer. I'm really glad we had at least two people.
You skipped one.
Going for the babies.
You skipped one. Also...
the best music.
You know how much less of the Marianas Trench we would have explored if they didn't make Titanic?
I'm okay with it. There are very few things I think would be worth having that movie exist.
You skipped what's the best music? Chris Moreland said hymns.
That was good.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
On a personal level, that's really funny.
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting that Christian Ashley listens to classical. Like, it's on brand when I think about it, but I just wouldn't have assumed that for some reason.
Yeah.
Funk was a good answer, too. Funk was a solid answer.
Funk was a great answer. Yeah, I agree with that, at least partially. Yeah. Christian Ashley saying classical, I think he means neoclassical. I think he's hiding the fact that he really wanted to say, like, video game music.
You know what? I appreciate that, though. Some video game music, great. Kingdom Hearts music, fantastic. God of War music is pretty good.
Pretty good. Elden Ring, Dark Souls 3, Bloodborne.
Assassin's Creed
4. Persona.
Yeah.
Good music.
True.
So, least favorite Bible verse, Babies on the Rocks.
Yeah.
It's not a cocktail. It's just a bad Bible verse.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a bad Bible verse, but I understand why it would be someone's least favorite. It's not something I want to hear frequently. Yeah.
Yeah. You get a tattoo of that one.
Yeah.
In Hebrew.
I dare someone. Please. Send us a picture.
Yeah.
Put it on our Instagram. We'll do it.
Hot take about cartoons. Was it Tom that said he didn't grow up in a house with a TV?
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting. I don't remember why Pete Innes brought up Rocky and Bullwinkle, but I've been thinking a lot about Rocky and Bullwinkle since then.
Yeah.
That's my only reflection.
Yeah. I hope he saw the movie. I hope he's watched the movie since then.
I hope he watches or listens to this and tells us that he's seen the movie now.
Yeah, because we're not going to text him.
No.
And the how important is truth? Did anyone say anything other than very important?
Yeah. I feel like I should have like made them rate 0 to 10. That would have been a better question. I think I didn't word that question well. But it was a good setup to the follow-up question.
So, is truth more important than love? That one was pretty divisive, I feel like.
Yeah, everyone seemed to answer different versions of, well, you can't have love without truth. Or some people just flat out said, no, love is more important.
Yeah.
No, I don't think anyone straight said truth is more important.
Yeah.
That I can think of. Yeah. But that's it. That was our hot seat section.
That was our hot seat 9 weeks ago.
All right. So were any of our positions changed or did anyone have you questioning any of your positions during the series?
No. I am immutable.
My... I don't know. I'm trying to think. Father Jonathan's episode maybe helped me change my view on biblical canon, but I think that's because I just didn't know what my view was. Like, I hadn't thought that much about it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. It didn't change my view, but spiritual gifts helped me flesh out what I believe about continuation.
Yeah, I think a lot of that. A lot of these episodes really helped me flesh out or think deeper about my view more than it changed my view,
yeah,
per se.
Yeah, sorry if this is like a shock to people who listen, but no, we do not know everything. We are also learning while we're recording.
Yeah, that's actually part of the point. We just have smart people on to tell us stuff that we didn't know.
Yeah, we're cheating.
Which, you know, kind of leads into the next question. What were the most challenging topics to speak about? Because for me, our end times episode was pretty difficult to do. You know, we had our people vote on Facebook, so we included it. Turns out that neither me, you, or Christian knew a ton about the end times.
Yeah.
And that really aggravated some people on YouTube.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Completely fair.
But yeah. But I think I'm glad we did it still, because it encouraged me to do more research. I actually tried to look up more so that I knew what I was talking about in the future. Because I was like, huh, turns out I know almost nothing about this.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Nothing I looked up changed my view, but did encourage me to want to know more about it.
That's just
desire for knowledge is a plus. Yeah. Yeah.
End times? It's not right now.
I mean, I think it is. Fun episode. Anyway.
Yeah. So you answered this already.
Yeah. Did you have any that you were inspired to study more?
Not in so many words, no.
Hmm. Any that you just Googled quickly because you realized you didn't know?
A couple, yeah.
Funny. You're not going to share what they are, though, are you?
No, so I don't remember. Basically, weird. What happens when this happens is I have my thought and I look up what that is or what that's closest to.
To get the words for it.
Yeah.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. So do you think our guests did a good job representing the other side arguments from their own perspective?
Largely, no.
I think some of them did really good.
I think they tried.
Like, I'm thinking Christian and Chris Moreland both did a really good job.
Yeah, they did. They knocked it out.
Yeah, they did great.
Everyone else did try, though. At least. Yeah.
I was really surprised how many people just kind of said that they had a hard time doing it. Like, they just openly admitted that this was difficult.
Yeah.
I didn't think anyone was going to just say that. Like, yeah, that's difficult to do. Yeah, but
yeah,
not used to people admitting that things are difficult.
The ego is not super, super high for our guest pool.
Turns out. I mean, that's a good thing, I think.
Because pride is the devil.
True. Root of all evil or something like that. Love of money. I don't know.
Yeah. Would we ever do something like this again?
I think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
If we had the right topics. Like, I wouldn't just try to make up topics to do it. But if we think of a bunch of topics, I'm like, hey, there's 6 more episodes we could do about controversial unity. I'd probably do it again.
Yeah. More controversial, more unity.
Yeah.
Too controversial, too unify.
Controversial unity. More controversial, more unity.
Yeah.
Make it like an old, like, 80s slasher film trailer for it.
To Fast and the Furious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too controversial, too unify.
Perfect. I love it. And then when we decide to do it, we just simply share the trailer for Too Fast, Too Furious. It has nothing to do with our show, but
yeah. Yeah. It was hyper.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. I don't know if you know this or not, but we often ask people for practical action that listeners could do to help you bring unity to the church. Was there any in this series that stood out to you of, like, really good ways that we could bridge the gap on some of our big differences in the church?
I love it when active listening comes up.
Yeah.
Because setting yourself aside is the biggest thing you can do.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's a difficult concept. I love when people flesh it out, because it's not just when you're listening, do active listening. It's no, go out and find people to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how would you, if you were talking about like active listening, how would you define that and how it helps us with specifically the kind of issues that we talked about in the series?
So when you're active listening, you are listening to someone explain their point and trying to rationalize or relate to that as well as you can to understand why they say that. That's how I see it, at least. And retaining the information. When they're talking, you're not just thinking about what you're going to say in response to that.
Yeah. And that's hard for some of the topics that we did here, right? Like, it's hard if you're on the affirming of gay marriage side to think that people who are against it aren't just against it because they're homophobic, or aren't just against it because they hate gay people, you know, or whatever. And it's hard if you're on one side of biblical inerrancy, if you believe in biblical inerrancy, to think that the other side just isn't trying to do away with the Bible. Like, it's hard to see that there's real reasons for the other side that aren't anti-Christian or evil, that are just different reasons from your own.
Yeah. Mm. If we start active listening, really, what changes in the world?
Everything, perhaps?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially now in an election year, it's really easy in and out of the church to see polarization is everywhere. Everyone hates each other. We're all othering the other person. You know, you're either fascist or you're Marxist, right? Like, depending on what side you're on, that's what the other side is. You can't be in between. There's no nuanced view. I mean, there is, but it's just not highlighted very often. And I think especially if our reporters were active listening and trying to paint both sides as good actors with different reasons, everything would look different. Like, it just, we would have a whole different world, like, of maybe not perfect unity, but I think we'd have a much deeper understanding of one another and a much greater peace of mind and peace of will. Oh, peace in general. Yeah.
I'd like a peace of will. I like will.
Yeah. Did you have any other, like, what do you think would happen in the world, or is that pretty simple?
No. Oh, they can just get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So before we wrap up, we'd like to ask everyone to share a God moment they saw God recently, whether that be a blessing, challenge, moment of worship, curse, whatever it may be. Josh, would you have a God moment for us?
Yeah, a couple hours ago, I saw the solar eclipse.
What?
Wild. It was profoundly underwhelming. Everybody always talks about it being like this super emotional moment and stuff. I'm like, oh, that orange dot in the sky when I have these things on started getting covered up. And it looked cool. It looked really cool. I was glad that to see it. I've never seen it before. Yeah, that's a lot cooler than I thought it would be. And then I was in the middle of recording another episode of a different podcast with Brandon Knight. And I get back and he's like, you know, the cool part really isn't looking up at it, but rather seeing how, like, everything can be dark but light at the same time. And it's something that our words can't make sense of. He's like, that's the cooler part to him. And I was like, huh, yeah. And to me, that was more profound than what me looking at the sun and going, cool, it's kind of covered up. That's kind of
cool. It's a Hamara.
Yeah. Yeah, Twilight. Rather just kind of like seeing light and dark kind of almost kind of coexist. And, you know, I'm not trying to pull like some kind of spiritual light and dark should coexist kind of thing, but it's rather just kind of a understanding how sometimes we miss the cool thing because we're told what we think it should be. It should be that I'm looking at the sun and that's the spiritual moment. But rather, it turns out maybe just seeing what's around me is a lot more meaningful than looking up and waiting for something cool to happen.
Yeah. Mm. Believe it or not, a couple hours ago. No,
I really thought you were going to do the eclipse again.
I am. So our next eclipse is in 2024 or 2044. The one after that's in 2045. That we'll be able to see, at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
Total solar, at least. So my nephew will be the same age that I am for this one, for the next one.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I think there's something there.
Yeah.
That's really
cool. Might be the next greatest co-host of a podcast of all time.
Yeah. Or hopefully podcasts will be extinct by then.
I want podcasts to go on forever. What are you talking about?
Sometimes they do.
Like this one in season one.
Not this
specifically.
But yeah, no, it just feels special, like one of those kind of odd connections you can't really have. But yeah, outro. Please consider sharing the episode with a friend, enemy, cousin.
Yeah. Especially if they're the same age as you during an eclipse.
Yeah, if you're, yeah.
Yeah. If you have that kind of connection, you know.
Yeah.
Make it count for something. It's not make it listen cousin. To a podcast.
I will say also, the 1999 eclipse, which I don't know if you remember, you're old as dirt.
Nope.
But I was the same age for that as my other nephew is for this one. Almost exactly.
Oh, that's cool. That's wild.
Yeah. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, that's really cool, actually.
So, friend, enemy, cousin, There are paid subscriptions on Captivate, Apple Podcasts, Patreon for extra content where you can support our ministry. Rate, review the show on Podchaser, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you go. Give us a thumbs up, give us 5 stars, give us 10. You know, if you're listening on Captivate, go ahead and leave a one-time tip through the foyer on the website.
Yeah. Yeah, those one-time tips help us a lot. And there's no commitments. You know, you just $5 once. Helps us. Yeah. Helps the show keep going. It's cool. Check out some other shows while you're at it on the Anazal Ministries Podcast Network. We have a link down below that you can do that. You can check out My Seminary Life. You can check out Let Nothing Move You, Systematic Ecology, all that good stuff.
Yeah, and we hope you enjoy it. Next week, we're going to have an episode.
My bad.
Yeah. This week, we're going to have Josh mess up the outline for this episode by forgetting to change the end of the outline.
Guys, we're going to have a week, maybe 2 weeks off, because I'm not sure what we're going to do next. At some point, we're going to be doing a follow-up with Christian Ashley, specifically about what books should be in the biblical canon and how we've decided canon. He has some thoughts.
And at some other point, we are going to be recording with Francis Chan at the end of season one, actually, specifically.
He doesn't know that, though. So,
yeah.
Someone's got to let him know. It won't be us.
It's not me. It's not my job.
Yeah.
It's above my pay grade.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Thank you for listening to the Whole Church Podcast. Again, you could always sponsor our show at patreon.com/thewholechurchpodcast or on captivate.fm or on Apple Podcasts. You can also leave us a one-time tip through Captivate. Thank you for listening.